You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
I have a level of expertise, and I have a level of information that nobody else has.
Hour number three of The Drive underway right here on Fox Sports Knoxville. Russell and Bear back with you. Hope you had a great Valentine's Day. Thanks for joining the festivities this afternoon. We're back here in the Mountain View Chevy Studios breaking it down for you this afternoon here on The Drive. Very romantic Valentine's Day dinner. I went with the number two combo. She had the number one. Kids had just the regular hamburgers. Plain, of course, because that's how the kids roll, you see. But tomorrow night, Bear, tomorrow night is the night that Captain Romance makes his long-awaited appearance. And
you going to bathe?
Am I?
I don't know. Are you Captain Romance?
Absolutely. What do you take me for? Am I going to bathe?
This may be this is one of your sillier nom de plumes that you're giving yourself. Nom de, whatever the hell. Names. Captain Romance.
Known badass and Captain Romance hitting the town tomorrow night. We have the babysitter confirmed. It's going to be all good. It's going to be all good.
How come you guys have never, you know, called me up and asked me if I wanted to sit the kids?
I don't know, Bear. Are you available?
I'm going to have to bring Junior over.
You know how to wipe a poopy butt?
Ooh.
Because that's happening right now. We got a three-year-old.
Call me when the three-year-old potty trains.
That's how this is how I wake up at least two or three times per week right now is, come wipe me.
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't believe it until I had my own. You don't think
No, it's not bad. I don't care about that. It's just that's not a great way to wake up in the morning. Like, I would like to be able to get up, have some coffee, you know, maybe take a gander at the newspaper, stub my toe. Like,
step out on the veranda at Stately Smith
Manor.
Yeah,
wiping poop off somebody else's butt within about 30 seconds of, you know, putting my feet on the floor.
Yeah,
that's a tough one.
I remember.
That's a tough one. I don't like it. It needs to stop.
It does, but once they're gone, you kind of miss them being that young. Not the wiping poop part, but just being that young.
Everything else, I know, man. It goes by so fast.
It does.
So, I don't know if the Georgia game Saturday night, does that scare you at all? Just being a road game?
Because we've had – going down there, weird stuff happens down there with us and them.
And it's not like they do have a very good player in Yonte Maton, who will be able, you know, he's just as good as Grant is, in my opinion, but he's all they got. Like, we got other guys who can step up and hurt you. They don't have anybody else down there. But just the fact that it is down there, it all is on the road, and the fact that nobody else. The fact that it doesn't worry anybody worries me, you know?
Oh, I'm worried about it. These games, it's Georgia down there.
These games that we just kind of look over tend to worry me a little bit. So, at Georgia Saturday, Florida at home next week, at Ole Miss, then at Mississippi State, and Georgia at home again to end the season is how we're going to end here. Five games left. Would love to win them all. I'm afraid we have one more L in that stretch.
You think?
But you know what, man? If you go, if you finish 23-7, I mean, again, wow. You've gone from being picked 13th in your own league, which I know, like, that's getting old with some people. It's played out. It's the Bruce Pearl timeline. By the way, I had that game on pretty much from start to finish last night.
Right.
And Bruce's last year here was nonstop every game. Remember how annoying it was, the Bruce Pearl timeline, and what a joke right. and meme it was amongst Tennessee fans? Like, and I get it. Like, he messed up, and he certainly deserved what he got. But here he is. Like, one of his coaches is under felony indictment by the federal government.
Right.
There's a very good chance that he will not be back next year, just as good probably as it was in his last year here. And I didn't hear
that's
them.
Right.
If they mentioned it once last year, and they might have because I was doing other things and not my full and complete attention, but doesn't seem like they're making a big deal of his situation this year. Certainly,
he's not at Tennessee anymore.
Certainly not as big a deal as they made about it when he was here.
If he was at Tennessee, I guarantee you the scrawl would be going.
Well, why are we such an easier target as compared to Auburn? Like, I don't think that should be.
Because we act like maniacs every couple of years. I don't know. I mean, probably going all the way back to when Fowler took us on back with the Peyton deal.
I don't know. Am I imagining that? Do
no. The whole ESPN hates us?
I've watched a lot of Auburn games this year due to my unhealthy obsession with Bruce Pearl. And they've mentioned it a couple of times, but it's nothing like it was back in 2010 when he was getting run out of here. Am I imagining that, or is that real? 865-546-8200, your number if you want to get on the show here with us this afternoon. 546-8200. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Phil. We already talked to him. Let's talk to Penny. Good afternoon, Penny. You're on the drive.
What's going on, everybody? How you guys doing?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm on my way to the Black Panther premiere, so I'm doing awesome.
Does that come out tonight?
Sure does.
What is that? So this is a
What comes out tonight?
Black Panther.
Oh, the next comic book movie?
It's a comic book movie.
Yeah. Is there a big deal? I mean, they all like set records.
I'm just not familiar with the story. Was this? I know.
Unfortunately for you, Penny, our comic book nerd isn't here today.
Yeah, I heard that.
My little boy is wanting to go see it because it's a Marvel comic book movie, and we'll probably go see it, but I'm not real familiar with it.
Well, let's put it this way. He was the first mainstream black superhero.
Was he before Blade?
Are you serious?
Don't come on here throwing shade at Blade.
I mean, I like Blade.
He's on the Mount Rushmore of superheroes, Penny.
No, he's stop. Get out of here.
Blade the Daywalker?
On
are
the
you crazy?
Mount Rushmore of super. Stop. Just stop.
You go ahead. Wesley
just
Snipes
stop.
Is listening to the drop somewhere. He's going to come in here and stomp
Penny,
you.
Go ahead with your phone call. I'm not even going to address that. That's so absurd.
Black Panther is everything better than Blade. I'm pretty sure he's stronger. I think Black Panther is the richest superhero.
Oh,
lots of people don't know that.
What does he do? What's his job? Is he independently wealthy? How did that happen?
Yeah, so he's born into the basically Black Panther lineage where he's I guess he was a prince and then he became a king. And you have to eat like this special,
We're way in a nerd land now. Way in a nerd land.
He like plant. Right, that gives him like superhuman strength, and it also gives him all of the knowledge and past experiences of the past Wakanda.
Does he own like King Solomon's mines? Is he rich in gold? And he's a king.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
More than that, there's so many things that he does and so many skills that he has. It's like I wouldn't be able to tell you within this call. But
I mean, is he richer than Bruce Wayne?
Yeah, he's the richest.
Okay.
And I'm not exaggerating when I state that.
He makes Bruce Wayne look like a pauper. A pauper.
He beats all of them, Wayne and Tony Stark, by like billions of dollars.
We're debating the fictional worth of comic book characters at this point. Proceed.
Hey, it's important for minority children to have minority superhero characters.
I agree.
Sure.
It is. Anyway, so it's supposed to be an awesome movie. It's like 2.5 hours long.
Whoa. 2.5 hours?
Okay, can we move along here? Really, we're going to dissect the length of the film at this point. Go ahead, Penny.
Yeah, it is that long, so I'm probably going to have to talk or something like that because I did work today. But anyway, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to getting the collector's memorabilia that I'll probably save until my kid gets, you know, grown or 18 or something like that. Anyways, moving on to Sports Avenue. I'm glad you guys are falling back down to earth with your thought process on Tennessee. Maybe you guys had a conversation about Tennessee getting the number one seed. Hey, calm down.
That was never real, man. We were, you know,
that was Friday. I'll admit, Russ, when you were sick and Chance was off, I got a little off the reservation. I was hoping that we could get through it, Penny, and Russ wouldn't find out some of the dumber stuff I did while he was gone and I was hosting the show.
We still got a chance at a two. I mean, I think that's on the table. I don't know how likely it is, but
we went out and we win the SEC tournament. We'll be a two.
Three seed probably more likely. So, you're playing for seeding at this point, and a one seed was never going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But remember also, I think you guys are going to have, I'm hearing too many ball fans getting their hopes up about how far Tennessee's going to go in the tournament. Remember, I always have to remind people this. You have to learn to win in the tournament. Just because you have a decent regular season and it's better than last year, that doesn't mean that they have now attained the ability to do well in the tournament, because it's a special type of pressure that's on you when you play in the tournament.
No, I mean, I think people are generally aware of that, and yeah, you know, it's true. I mean, you gotta take it to another level. And you got to peak at the right time. And what might have been good enough, particularly, I don't know, say on a Tuesday night at home against South Carolina, ain't going to cut it in the NCAA tournament. So you got to raise your level of play. You got to take it to another level. And you've got to be able to play that, you know, possession for possession, half court game that the tournament has always been defined by. And I think this team sets up well for that. I still think that the point guard situation right now is a problem that, again, like you can hide it against South Carolina at home on a Tuesday night. You can't hide it. When you get in the NCAA tournament, if you don't have point guard play, you're not going to win it, period.
But there's a key component. If you look at, for instance, you can really throw away the North Carolina game, because I think, you know, Tennessee can win in a sense like that in the tournament. North Carolina, I don't expect to play like that in the tournament. But the way that Alabama exposed Tennessee is really going to be the blueprint of how Tennessee is going to be exposed in the tournament. Like you stated, one key component is they're going to have a point guard that's going to expose them, so Tennessee's going to have to shore up that weakness. But the big spot that Tennessee can't shore up is the height and the athleticism down low with that height. Guys don't have that athleticism. That's what Alabama did. They exploited you guys down low, and it seemed easy for them because their point guard could continue to penetrate and then dish and act like he was going to penetrate and then dish anyway, and that happened all night long, and that's what's going to happen in the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're not going to get any longer. Thanks for the call, Penny. Appreciate it. Like, Tennessee is who they are at this point. I would disagree that we're not an athletic team down low. I think Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield are terrific athletes. I think Kyle Alexander is a terrific athlete. But they're going to have to get better play from those guys. You know, the effort we saw at Alabama, that ain't going to cut it. You bring that, you're going to get beat in the first round even if you are a 3 seed. 14 seed will come in there and beat you with that kind of effort. That was not good enough to beat anybody. But I think Tennessee, you know, you look at, everybody throws out that Villanova team 2 years ago. They weren't a particularly long team, you know, so I think that it.
Didn't they have elite guard play, though?
Yeah, they absolutely did. And they, you know, I can never pronounce his name, Dianako, dude, like he was.
Andronico.
I don't think that's right either, but he was not an NBA talent by any stretch of the imagination. But, man, he could really play. And I think he played like 40 minutes a game for them. Like, he didn't come off the court. So Tennessee doesn't have that right now. There's still time to get it figured out. And I wasn't as worried about it a month ago because at that point you had 12 games left. It's like, okay, that's a lot of time. Now there's 5 games left. And we're still struggling. And it's like, guys, come on. Like, we need – I don't care who it is. If it's not Bone, that's fine. But, you know, somebody needs to step up and become the floor general on this team. And time's a-wasting. The Drive rages on. 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in. More of your phone calls coming up.
Best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. This is The Drive.
People want the Waco report on Twitter. My band of minions who were taking in the hit show Waco on Paramount Network.
Your minions.
Used to be the Spike TV network. We're enjoying this show together. I DVR'd it last night because I was watching Auburn beat Kentucky, and I've yet, like, nobody called me on that. I'll admit it. I knew it helped Tennessee if Auburn lose, and I was pulling for Auburn the whole night, and I enjoyed every second, and I don't care if it hurt Tennessee that they won. Kentucky losing, Bruce winning, I'm here for all of it, baby. I'm here for all of it. And I'm unapologetic. I enjoyed every last second of it. But I had to DVR at Waco. Pretty good episode. I mean, we're at the point now. We're 4 episodes in. So they're in the, you know, the initial assault has happened. And Koresh is in there. And he's been wounded. And he's bleeding. And they're trying. Like last night's episode centered on them trying to get milk in for the kids.
Who does Michael Shannon? What role does he play?
He plays like the lead FBI negotiator. In this, and so, like, he's portrayed as very competent and a guy that just wants to resolve the situation peacefully, and like the people around him, particularly in the ATF, are portrayed as a bunch of just incompetent boobs. And the thing, like, it's a good show, man. I love it. Gonna stick with it, and there's nothing I've seen that makes me want to stop watching. But the thing that I find weird about it is I keep waiting for them to portray David Koresh as he actually was. And if you've watched the A&E documentary that they're playing a lot now, it is the 25th anniversary of the Branch Davidian conflict in Waco, Texas, which is why all this stuff is coming out now. And I keep waiting for them to, like, portray him as he really was, which is a psychotic whack job who was responsible for the death of 60 or 70 people when you combine everybody, and then ruined countless lives. And instead they continue, like, this show, again, it's good, but they're trying so hard to, like, portray this false equivalency between Koresh and his madness and the mismanagement of the federal government. And to me,
you can't compare.
They're
those
not
two.
Even remote. Yes. The government screwed up royally. I mean, they botched it 6 ways from Sunday. There's no doubt about it. But at the end of the day, David Koresh was a madman, a complete and total whack job. He was sexually abusing young children. He was violating federal gun laws. And he ruined the lives of countless, countless people, man. Like, when you figure, like, the people who got sucked into the cult, their family members who are forever devastated by this, the people who survived that ordeal, like, he's just
it was going to end in blood and fire one way or the other with him, I think. Now, I think the federal government completely mismanaged it, and they probably sped up the process. But that guy wasn't coming out of there peacefully. It was going to burn.
We'll never know. We'll never know. I mean, and this is like the central question that the show grapples with is you've got – some of the FBI, some of the ATF guys, they want to go in there and they want to get it done. And Michael Shannon's character is like, listen, if we have to wait a year and we get all those people out and none of those kids die, isn't that worth it? I mean, we're spending a lot of money here and there, but what price can you put on a child's life? What kind of price can you put on any of these people's lives? Like, let's negotiate, man. Let's get these people out of there. Let's exhaust all means necessary. And there was this tremendous pressure to go in there and fight and do it that way. And, well, we all know eventually what happened. But, yeah, it's weird. Like, they portray it. Tim Riggins does a great job at portraying Koresh. But they
Taylor Klitsch.
They make him look – it's Kish. But they make him look so sympathetic. And I'm watching this show, and it's like I keep waiting for the turn. Like, are they really going to start showing what the dark side of him? And they just – it just hasn't happened yet, man. They
running out of episodes.
Well, we got six more left. I think it's a 10. I think it's 10. Last night was 4, so we'll see what happens. That's your Waco report. Tune in again next week as we go inside the crazy. Willie is next on the drive. What's up, Willie?
Burn, baby, burn.
Oh, no. Come on. Too soon. Too soon. 26 kids died in that fire, Willie.
It just shows how crazy these damn people are.
You got that right.
They should have just nuked him.
Drop a nuclear bomb on the
tactical nuclear weapon on U.S. soil, Willie? Really?
I'm talking a pint-sized nuclear bomb.
Oh, just a small nuke.
It's a small nuke. Just enough to nuke what we need to nuke.
Just barbecue their kids. It don't matter.
Who cares? We don't need to go to Waco for the next 24,000 years.
What are we losing Waco?
Baylor, for that matter. Fine. A fine institution of higher learning that has had absolutely zero hint of scandal over the past 30 years. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but hell.
I'm sorry?
I got to run, see a man by the dog. See ya.
Drive by.
You know, every now and then, I'm thinking, like, nothing surprised me. Okay, Willie calls in. Willie's a little bit sauced. It's 525. You know, nothing can surprise me. I'm just hoping he doesn't drop an F-bomb, basically, is all yeah, I'm thinking during that phone call. And
I could see you.
No, I mean, it's all good, but I feel like I'm prepared for anything. You know, if he does drop the F-bomb, I feel like, okay, we can handle it. We'll get through this. We'll dump him, and it won't go out, and it'll be all good. But got to admit, man, I wasn't prepared for the abrupt got to go see a doc guy about a dog hang up ending.
Snowball, ladies and gentlemen.
He got me. He got me with my pants down. I wasn't ready. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know where to go from there.
Well, I could see you were setting up your flush. I could see it from over here.
No, I really wasn't. I mean, I was hoping that we could get to some sort of content with that phone call. I thought he was going to. It was like, okay, he's going to make some off-color jokes about the Branch Davidian thing, but eventually he's going to talk sports. I thought he was going to go Winky. I thought he was going to go football and talk about Chris Winky and Jeremy Pruitt and the Vols. So that's what I was waiting on, was that turn. Is he going to go to football or basketball, and then he has to go see a guy about a dog?
You think if we hadn't made him sit through the Waco update, I think that may have gotten him off track.
Well, I don't care. I'm not going to stop show programming for Willie's phone call. I mean, you think he had something else? No, you think he had a reason for calling? No, like he had some piece of valuable information or wisdom that he wanted to impart upon us that led him to pick up the phone and call the drive this afternoon?
No.
You think he just wanted to BS?
Yeah. Yeah. I think he was listening. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to call the guys.
See, I don't know. Yeah, you are a former talk show caller. I've never called a talk show before in my life. So I don't know. I would think that most people, when you call, you pick up and you have a point. Like, oh, they said something provocative that I want to respond to. I'm going to call in and we're going to and say my piece.
It gets hard when you sometimes this can happen where you'll call in, you'll get triggered. You call in up to argue a counterpoint, and then the show kind of changes direction, and then you get put live on the air, and your call kind of loses its steam.
What did we talk about last segment? See, I don't even remember. We're to the point. We're late in the week. It's late in the show. Yeah. And I can't remember what we've been doing. Oh, a Penny called. You think he wanted to talk about the Black Panther?
There's no way. I think this was just one of those random Willie calls. He hadn't called us in a while.
You think he wanted to argue who the richest superhero was?
I mean, he's legendary. He can either hit a grand slam in the bottom of the ninth, or he can do that. Some of the best calls on the drive all time have been Willie calls.
Donnie says, check out 99 Homes if you want to get a chance movie, a chance sometime. I don't know what he's – I love the illiterate – and this is a direct message, by the way. Donnie slid into my DMs with this, with a movie review. I love it when people slide into my DMs with something that is perfectly fine to just tweet to me. And I have open DMs, by the way. Anybody can, and it's for like if people want advertising information, or if people have like a lead on a story that they want to, or you know, something off the record they want to share with me. But I can't tell, like 50% of it is just people DMing me stuff that is perfect. Is like, dude, just tweet that to me. Don't clog up my DMs with the crap. Check out 99 Homes if you get a chance sometime. Michael Shannon and Michael Garfield, really good movie.
Well, yeah, Michael Shannon's a – I can't believe I didn't know his name.
And Andrew Garfield is the guy who – he was the other guy in the Facebook movie, Social Network. That was a good flick. 99 Homes. I'll put it – I tell you, man, I love this I love this Michael Shannon dude. He's terrific. I don't think anything.
Oh, he's never been in anything bad.
Well, he has. The Superman movie was terrible.
Oh, he was in that?
That was brutal.
What role did he play in that?
He was General Zod.
Oh, okay.
And like, he wasn't bad, but the movie was bad. The guy who played Superman was bad. It was one of those special effects movies that's just way over the top, and it's just basically 2 hours of explosions and bodies flying around, and with no sort of dramatic narrative content at all.
Was that the Superman that killed Batman?
Yeah, like he, yeah, that was the next movie. The first, he was in a Superman. That was the one with Michael Shannon as Zod, and then they had Superman versus Batman, which I think I went to see in the Dollar Theater just on because it's a cool concept. Superman, Batman in the same movie. Like I can't not go see it, right? And I went, and it was awful.
I'm just
like
not
it was worse than the Superman movie.
I'm just not that into comic book movies.
I'm over. I told you before, like I'm over it now. I think that they had their place and they were really fun for a while. I loved all the X-Men movies. I liked the first Avengers. I liked Spider-Man and Iron Man and all those things. But the past couple of times I've been to a comic book movie, it's been like, okay. I get it. I'm good.
Blade is the GOAT comic book movie.
I got to that with Captain America. Everybody said, "Oh, you got to go see Captain America." It's good. I was like, "Okay," and went and saw it. And it's like, dude, this like we're just rehashing the same stuff here. Come up with something new, some new material, Hollywood. You got to go see The Shape of Water, man. You would love it.
It's a creature from the Black Lagoon.
It's not. It is inspired. The sea creature in it is inspired by the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Yada, yada, yada.
There's a lot of, there's a lot. That movie messed with me, man. There's a lot going on there. A lot going on. Stay with us. The drive continues. Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Brill. Coming up.
The Drive. NutriShop, Knoxville's premier locally owned and operated nutritional supplement headquarters. Located at 107 Moss Grove Boulevard in West Knoxville, just in front of Academy Sports, NutriShop provides customers with an extremely diverse selection of superior nutritional supplements at guaranteed low prices thanks to their price match, swap, and buyback guarantees. NutriShop owner and VFL Kyle Spicer, along with his personally trained NutriShop staff, will work with you to develop a personalized plan, ensuring your success and satisfaction. NutriShop offers over 100 exclusive sports nutrition, weight loss, vitamin, and general health supplements, including protein, pre- and post-workout, muscle optimizers, and vitamins, along with consultation,
All right, here we go. A little chicken-a-wrecket on the drive. Auburn will win the regular season SEC title.
Check it. Bruce has got that look about him, Russell.
Yeah, I'm checking it. It's done. Auburn will win the SEC tournament.
I'm going to wreck that.
I'm wrecking it, too. You never win the league, and I guess Kentucky's probably
Kentucky does it tons of times.
Bruce Pearl will be SEC Coach of the Year.
I'll check it. I think it's either going to be him or Konzo.
Yeah, I'm checking it as well. You think Konzo over Barnes?
See, I don't know.
Everybody will point to the, he picked 13th out of 14th, and he almost won the league thing. But Missouri wouldn't have been picked wherever they were picked if they had known that they weren't going to have Michael Porter at the time. Like, they might have been picked 13th, or maybe they might have been picked last.
But it wasn't just Porter. I mean, he showed up with a Ferrari and several Mustangs, and I mean, he turned that program around quick. They were horrible.
They got
last
Porter.
Year.
Porter's brother is pretty good, but they don't have much.
Well, fine then. Check it then.
John Calipari will leave Kentucky after this season.
Yeah, I'll check it. Mainly, after. I guess it was before the show we were talking, and we went over what they've got left. They aren't done losing this year, not in league play.
No, I've got that. Let me see if I can pull that up. So they've lost four in a row now, and it's about to be seven. Here's their end of the season. Saturday against Alabama. It's a loss. At Arkansas, loss. Missouri at home, loss. Ole Miss at home, they'll probably win that one.
Yeah.
And then at Florida, which is going to be a loss.
Not necessarily. Florida got beat by Georgia.
I don't see that Kentucky team going out there. All right, I'll give them two. I was going to give them 1-4 down the stretch, but just for the sake of argument, I'll give them two. 2-3 would put them at 8-10 in the league. They're in the NIT.
Well, that's what they're a run-of-the-mill NIT team this year. They aren't very good. But we won't remember that in 10 or 15 years. Well, no. All we'll know is that we swept them in 2018.
That is Check It or Wreck It, brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell, the official law offices of The Drive, who remind you if you end up injured in an accident and you need legal representation, call on Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell. They'll come to you no matter where you are. And turn your wreck into a check. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell online at wreckintoacheck.com. You can call 865-546-1111 to speak to a licensed attorney 24/7, any time of day, any time of week, any time of month, any time of year at Ogle, Elrod, and Burrell. You want to jump in, take a shot now, 865-546-8200, 546-8200 if you want to jump in here this afternoon on the show. Do you think The Shape of Water will win? But I don't know, man. Who's going to win Best Picture? I've not seen. Here's what they've done. The Academy Awards, I don't know if you've noticed this. They've done the same thing that the SEC has done with its all-conference teams. This is one of my major pet peeves. I harp on it all the time. Like, whenever they announce the all-conference team,
right?
It'll be, for basketball, be like eight guys on the first team.
Aha.
I just feel like there should always be five guys. If it's a
You're
team.
You're a purist.
If it's a team, there should be five. In football, first team should be 11 guys on each side of the ball. So that's what they started to do. Like, it used to be easy. They would announce all the Best Picture nominations, right? And it'd be like five movies. And you could go see them all because they'd announce them 2 or 3 months ahead of time. And you could go, if you're a film buff, you could go and watch them all.
I think now they put them on demand.
This year, they've got 9 of them. What do you mean on demand?
Like, I remember one year I thought they were like on demand on like Comcast.
They've got, because I've looked, some of them will come out like within, but as of like last week, none of the Best Picture nominees were on Comcast on demand yet. So they've got 9 things up, and I've seen The Shape of Water, I've seen Get Out, and I've seen Dunkirk. So I've seen 3 of them.
I still haven't seen Dunkirk.
So I just don't know, man. I haven't seen any of those other 6 movies. It was okay.
Depressing.
It was okay, man. It was not as good as I thought it would be.
Is it in the same league as Band of Brothers?
It was more. Dunkirk is kind of like a style. It's like just a mood. It's like here's what it was like to be in World War II in this area at this time, and it's just there's not as much about a story. Like Saving Private Ryan was about a story,
right?
You know, and that
they
was,
shoot it in blue filter. Remember that movie Payback with Mel Gibson? Certain movies are shot in blue filter. It gives them a really weird look. I thought that was one of the deals on Dunkirk.
So I haven't seen it. I'd like to see that. The Post, I guess, is about like the Pentagon Papers and stuff. Tom Hanks is in that, I think.
Yeah, that looks. I like that.
And then I want to see that 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. I think it's Ebbing, Missouri. That's got Frances McDormand in it.
Love her.
Fantastic actress. But it seems like The Shape of Water has a lot of buzz.
Do we call them actresses still, or are they actors now?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hmm.
The award show. I love the movies. I love the awards. The award shows have gotten unbearable because it's going to be a bunch of politically correct nonsense and, you know, shaming and all that stuff.
I've never, honest
Trump
to God.
Stuff and all that stuff.
I have never.
Never watched it?
Nope.
But you'll watch the Winter Olympics, won't you?
You got that right. You want to hear the music again?
No.
Okay. I mean, I can play it over here. No, I don't watch the Academy. I watch the Grammys.
You watch the Grammys? See, so I'll tell you what I
do now with the Grammys is I DVR it, and then I look to see if there are any really good
If anything happened.
Yeah, and then I'll go back and watch it.
I remember the big one when I was growing up that I never watch anymore, and I think they still have the MTV Video Music Awards.
Oh, I haven't watched those in years.
Like when I was in high school in the 90s, those were huge. Yeah.
Remember Marilyn Manson opened it with a dope
show?
Yeah,
he closed it. And,
is that what it was?
And Chris Rock came out and said, "Everybody get to church. Go to church. Get your ass to church."
I think I saw him at, I can't remember what it was called, maybe Moose's Music Hall. It was Marilyn Manson and the Spooky Kids.
Really?
Yeah. It was creepy.
His band was called the Spooky Kids?
Yeah. He came out kind of like Alice in Wonderland looking. He's a weird dude, man.
Yeah. Is he still around?
Yeah, he was actually, he had a role in Sons of Anarchy later on in the run.
Patrick on Twitter says, "Coach Cal to the Lakers with LeBron, and Kentucky goes all in on Patino."
Oh, my God.
There's no way. Rick Pitino
he's done.
The phrase is called blackballed.
I don't think the Lakers are firing
Luke Walton.
Although, I mean, if LeBron says, "Look, I'll come if you fire Luke Walton and you hire Cal," I think Magic Johnson would fire Luke Walton and hire Cal. He would have to, right? I mean, LeBron holds all the power in that situation.
That's ridiculous, but he does.
I think what's more likely, if you're a Kentucky fan, your best case scenario, because Cal's done there, it's not working out. Your best case scenario is that Cal leaves and Paul George goes with LeBron and creates a super team wherever they want to go, create a super team, probably the Lakers. And Billy Donovan's like, "Yeah, I'm not just going to sit here and play Russell Westbrook versus the world."
How do you think LeBron's going to deal with LeVar Ball, though? You just ignore him?
Yeah, he won't. He'll say, listen, here's the deal. You don't come down here. You don't talk to me. You don't talk to anyone. You want to talk to your kid, that's fine. But this is my team now. I'm the captain now. And you go sell shoes and overpriced water to idiots. That's what you do. I run the basketball team. That's how that conversation would go.
LeVar Ball is sneaky funny.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. The shocking conclusion. Coming up next, speak now, forever hold your peace, 865-546-8200. We'll be right back to wrap things up on this Thursday afternoon edition of the show right after this. Back here wrapping up another stellar edition of The Drive, Fox Sports Knoxville Overtime coming up next. Yeah, we're not done. Two more hours of local programming coming at you as soon as we get out of here just a few minutes. So we do have open lines right now if you want to jump in for our final segment. Be our guest, 865-546-8200 is your number. We'll be live tomorrow at National RX, your Friday home for The Drive. We'll have Piping Hot Jets Pizza for you. And that should be a lot of fun. Getting some this Kentucky thing is interesting. Greg on Twitter says, "Do you think Kentucky would go after Greg Marshall?"
Sure.
Yeah, why not? I mean, if he doesn't leave for Kentucky, he ain't leaving for anywhere. And
do you think they're going to go after somebody they think can get him back to be in the old Kentucky?
Well, I don't know. Like I said, Who do you go after once Elvis leaves the building?
I'd go after Greg Marshall if it was me.
What about Will Wade down there at LSU?
No, he's not ready for that job. Greg Marshall is. It all depends on what they're wanting to do. If they're really wanting to get back to the roots, I go with Greg Marshall. Somebody's going to build a, you know.
They'll go after. I'm sure they would go after Donovan. I'm sure that would be their first choice. Played there, coach, or he didn't play there, but he coached there with Patino, and is the most accomplished college basketball coach out there that's not coaching college basketball. So,
Mike on the text box says that Konzo coach of the year over Buck Pearl or Rick Barnes. How much dope did you and Russell smoke before the show today?
No, that's what I said. There was a story on SECCountry.com. that said Konzo Martin deserves SEC Coach of the Year over Rick Barnes and Bruce Pearl. And I quote tweeted that and said, any suggestion that anybody other than Pearl deserves SEC Coach of the Year is absurd. And it is. And that's not like, oh, Russell, you're a Bruce Pearl lover or anything like that. Like any neutral observer of college basketball would tell you that. Like there's just not an argument to be made otherwise. Yes. Konzo Martin has done a fantastic job. Yes, Rick Barnes has done a fantastic job. Auburn has murdered this league. They've run through everybody, man. And
yeah, I mean, it's not smoke and mirrors. The only Alabama, who have they lost to? Alabama. They lost the game early in the season before the
SEC. Yeah, because
remember, for a minute at the beginning of the season, we didn't think he was going to have a good year. And then all of a sudden, he just kept winning and winning and winning.
How many have they lost two, or is it up to three now?
They've lost to, that's what I was saying, they've lost to Alabama. That's the last one that I remember. Because that's when we got within a game of them. Maybe it's two.
Yeah, I don't see any room for debate there. And, you know, maybe they fall on their face down the stretch here, but I don't see that coming. Steve Forbes to Kentucky. I said earlier, I love Steve Forbes. He has been a junior college head coach and the head coach at ETSU for, what, three seasons now? This is second or third year at ETSU?
Yeah.
I wonder if the Kentucky job is a little bit big for him right now. Now, if he goes to Ole Miss and succeeds there, or goes to Georgia and succeeds there, then he might be ready for a step up, and maybe we get him when Rick Barnes hangs it up a couple of years down the road. But I don't know. I mean, maybe he goes out there and sets the world on fire. I don't want to say I'd be pulling for him. I don't want to. That's the other thing here is like we'd have to end our friendship with Steve Forbes. We can't be Forbes fans.
I wouldn't.
You're gonna be a fan of the head coach of Kentucky. No, you're not, man. Have you ever gotten to talk to Steve Forbes? Yes, many times in person. I know him. You're not going to.
I'm not going to root for him, but he's still Steve. He's still Coach Forbes.
That would last for about one game.
Tell us another story out in the parking lot, Steve Forbes.
That would last for about one game.
I'm just saying, if Forbes stops you and he's like, "Hey, I got a story for you," stop and listen.
Chris Holtmann. At Ohio State, he's done a fantastic job. I don't know if Kentucky fans are ready to play that Butler style of basketball. The guy, they just looking at the top 25, I don't even know who their coach is. But Texas Tech has been unbelievable. And whoever it is, he's only been there 2 years because you know who's an assistant on that squad.
Who's that?
I don't even know this guy's name. Chris Ogden.
That's where Ogden's at?
Yeah, he left to go down there. Chris Ogden, longtime Rick Barnes assistant, who coached here for a year when they made the move together.
He won't move the needle enough for Kentucky to look at it.
But, yeah, I mean, he's only been there 2 years. I don't think that's not a big enough sample size.
So who would you think their first two cop? Donovan? Marshall?
Probably.
Who would be the third?
I don't know. I think that Donovan and Marshall will probably be 1-2. Would they swing for the fences with Jay Wright? Why not? Pick up the phone, call Jay Wright.
Hey, Who would you rather have, Billy Donovan or Jay Wright? Jay Wright scares me. Billy Donovan doesn't.
If I'm Kentucky, I'd probably want Donovan.
Really?
Familiarity with the program, familiarity with the league.
And get used to losing to Tennessee.
Two-time national champion.
Donovan's teams are soft, man. Donovan's soft. That's why Tennessee whooped up on him so many times.
It's going to be interesting to see. But I do think Calipari is fixing to hit the bricks. He ain't fixing that thing down there, man. They're not getting better next year. And the rest of the league is. Here's the other thing. Like people that talk about Tennessee act like we've arrived, like we've done something. We're going to be better next year. All these guys are coming back, and we might add an elite point guard. I mean, if we add Anthony Simons, like
– I mean, if anybody leaves and we get Simons and anybody else leaves, we could probably get Tyler Harris too.
I halfway sitting here today on February the 15th, 2018, expect to win the SEC next year, regardless of what happens in recruiting. If we get Simons, then – to me, it's almost a disappointment if you don't. I mean, you should be preseason number one in the league. Interesting stuff. Tomorrow we'll be live at National RX in Farragut to wrap up your week. Overtime coming up next. Rick Butler will be back tomorrow. Chance is on the mend.
Yay.
Next week, the Drives World should be back on its axis. I don't know what's about to happen with this podcast, y'all. But look for it soon wherever you consume podcasts. We'll be back tomorrow from 3 to 6 here on The Drive.
The Drive.
National RX is Knoxville's premier discount pharmacy. At National RX, they shop distributors nationwide for the best price.